your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hello and welcome back to my fellow Driven Women. You know, I have been thinking a lot about boundaries. It's one of the areas I really enjoy coaching on because most entrepreneurs, creatives, and independent professionals, the people I work with, struggle with boundaries in both their business and their lives. Hey, if you are an expert in your field, your wisdom and experience are going to be sought after. And sooner or later, you will find yourself on the receiving end of the question, hey, can I pick your brain? On a regular basis. Most of us enjoy being asked for our opinion, but we all need to set limits on just how much advice we give and under what circumstances. This is one of the areas of boundaries many of my clients struggle with. And there are actually quite a few traps that we can inadvertently fall into that make giving advice risky business, not to mention a potential time and energy drain. So today's podcast is a solo episode called Don't Be an Advice ATM. I'm going to share with you everything I've learned about giving people what they think they want and why it's not always the best idea. But before I do, I'm going to share with you one of my recent podcast reviews. Now, you know that this podcast is marketed to women, but I happen to know there are people of all genders who listen. And today's review happens to come from a guy who's a fan of the show. His name is Christian R. Ward, and he's a fellow podcaster, host of the Interesting Humans podcast. Here's what he has to say about The Driven Woman. I know I'm among a minority of men who regularly listen to Diane, but as a curious man, I have to know what the other side thinks. Diane's command of and ability to zero in on important personal challenges makes her podcast worthwhile. Erudite and to the point, I enjoy Diane's dissection of problems and their solutions. So The Driven Woman is a great place to listen, girl or guy. Thank you, Christian. You really have a command of the language. I actually had to practice saying erudite several times before it sounded right. Anyway, don't forget to click on the link in the show notes to participate in our mindset quiz and to leave a podcast review of your own. So I've made you wait long enough. I'm sure you're dying to hear my thoughts about why you should not be an advice ATM. So let's get to it. You know, sometimes people really do want advice. They ask to be told what to do and exactly how to do it. Some people turn to others before they even make an attempt to figure things out on their own, and others will do everything humanly possible to figure things out before asking for help. They'll scour the internet, watch countless random YouTube videos, and will keep on searching until they reach their own personal MFT. That's maximum frustration tolerance, and then feel completely overwhelmed. And at that point, all they want is for someone to give them the A to Z instructions on where to start and what to do until the problem is solved. But something I've learned is that even though many people think advice is what they want, it's almost never the case. Unless we're talking about something technical, you know, a how-to kind of thing, like changing a tire or programming a remote control. In those cases, by all means, if you know what to do, tell them. Show off your practical knowledge and expertise. But for almost everything else, you know, problems on the job, problems with a spouse or partner or kids, finances, in-laws, anything having to do with other humans, be empathic. Let them know you want to support them, but then shut your freaking mouth. They don't want your advice as much as they think they do, or as much as you think they do. Let me break it down for you. It's just one of those funny quirks about human nature. You know, most of us, when we're upset or confused or uncertain about a situation, a decision, a relationship, we turn to other people for advice. We're social creatures. It's how we're wired. Sometimes we straight up ask for it. And other times we just reach out to a friend, a family member, a colleague, and just start unloading. We maybe assume the other person wants to know, or at least they don't mind knowing, and that it's legitimate to people and problem solve this way. I mean, doesn't everybody? Now, I know I'm a bit of an outlier because I've never really been one to ask for advice very much. I would occasionally call a friend, a coworker, or my sister to talk through a problem, but not because I expected them to tell me what to do or even help me figure it out. I'm a verbal processor, and that means I figure things out by talking them out. I basically just need the other person to act interested enough to let me talk until I figure it out for myself. You know, to tell you the truth, I bet I was the easiest money my former therapist ever made. They could just sit there and look at me with some modicum of interest, stay awake, and let me do the work. 50 minutes later, I figure things out and they had a check. Everybody was happy. Most therapy clients, for the record, are not like I was. And after being a therapist for 20 plus years, I'd say there are plenty of people that thought it was my job to tell them what to do. Note to future therapists and the designated good listeners in the audience, don't take the bait. Here's the problem with asking for advice and getting it. By sharing your problems with another person, to one degree or another, you get them involved. Now, whether or not they offer their opinion, they will have their own judgments, predict outcomes, and get emotionally attached to one particular course of action or another, even if they don't tell you what that is. Like most humans, I had to learn this lesson the hard way. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of episodes, you know I talk a lot about how I've learned things the hard way. I'd like to think that so you don't have to. So, over time, whenever I would turn to someone close to me to talk something out, unless I ended up doing exactly what they thought I should, lots of times they got mad at me. Now, this kind of situation was particularly treacherous whenever it involved going to friends for quote-unquote support during a difficult period in a romantic relationship. Case in point, when I first started dating my current husband many years ago, and I like to refer to him as my current husband, I call him that to his face all the time because I think it keeps him on his toes. Anyway, tangent. Years ago, when we first started dating, I shared with a friend about our relationship, some thoughts I had about his past, certain things about his personality that I didn't like so well. And my friend flat out told me she did not think he was the right guy for me. She did not think I should be in any relationship at that time. And she actually didn't like him very much, period. Well, I tried to be open-minded and hear her out, but I soon realized that I actually didn't want to be told what to do, and I really didn't care what her opinion was. I just wanted a friend to listen to me while I talked through my own thoughts and feelings. Looking back, I regret turning to this particular friend in that particular situation because I ended up staying with the boyfriend, who eventually became the husband, and now more than two decades later, the friendship is no longer around. It was never really the same after that. And of course, I couldn't read her mind, but it felt like because I chose to confide in her, she expected me to take her advice, and I chose not to. And that, my friends, is the rub about asking for advice. You might hear something you don't like. You might hear something you don't agree with, or something you flat out reject. Or it sounds good at first, but it's not practical, or it doesn't work for you. Or you might even follow the advice, but not get the anticipated results. Or you just realize later, like I did, all you really wanted was to be heard. You know, as a therapist and later as a coach, I was trained not to give advice, but rather to hold the space for my client to discover their own answers. My role was to facilitate the uncovering of those answers so the client could experience themselves as adequate, self-aware, and even empowered. Now, some of them would demand advice and even get pissed when I wouldn't give it. One in particular even accused me of playing games with her by, quote, withholding the answers she desperately needed, unquote. I had learned in my professional training that simply telling people what to do doesn't actually help them. Might make the helper feel important or special, but it can lead to an unhealthy dependency. Now, that totally makes sense to me. And even now as a coach, if I have a demanding client, I hold the line. But when it came to friends and family, for some reason, I didn't recognize that the same rules should apply, which meant I had to learn the hard way. It was especially hard with my adult children. You see, I was a single mother from the time my kids were 10, 12, and 15 until more than a decade later. By then, they had all left home, and two of them were more than 400 miles away. For a number of years, after they were grown and flown, my now adult kids would regularly turn to me to share situations with partners, roommates, supervisors, coworkers, neighbors, business partners, or other family members. And because I am a natural born problem solver, and I have a shit ton of education and training in human behavior and relationships, I relished the opportunity to continue to play a role in my kids' lives. Only I was making a big mistake by attempting to solve their problems once they had become adults. And this is true even though I was really good at it. It took me time to realize it was actually selfish of me to give advice, because what it essentially did was reinforce that I knew how to handle situations with other people. It just did nothing to develop their confidence that they could do it too. My daughter used to say, "Mommy knows best." Now, we have a fantastic relationship, and I know she meant it as a compliment and a reflection of the fact that she really respects me and trusts my perspective on life. Of course, my ego loved hearing it, but that little phrase, it reassured me that even though my baby girl was a grown-ass woman, she still loved and needed her mommy. But now my goal is to help her develop that same level of trust and respect in herself. One of the primary ways I do that is by no longer rushing in with answers or advice, even when she asks for it. Now, I give her space, I listen to her, I ask clarifying questions so she knows I'm invested and I care. And then I often end the conversation with, "Honey, I know this is challenging, but I am completely confident you're going to figure it out." I even shared with her recently that I started saying this before I really believed it. In fact, the first few times I would say it and I would hang up the phone and feel guilty that I didn't do more. But my job as a coach and my job as a parent of adult children is not to solve anyone's problems or give them the answers. I no longer believe I'm helping anyone by telling them what to do. Instead, I point out their strengths. I encourage them to think for themselves. I reflect evidence back to them that they are far more capable than they are giving them credit for in this moment. My ego may not get as many strokes, but nothing compares to watching someone transform from someone who's doubting themselves, second-guessing every decision, and afraid to make the wrong move, to someone who learns not to take themselves so seriously and to recognize that there is value in all experience, even the ones that don't turn out quite the way we want them to. So I hope you've enjoyed hearing my thoughts about why we should not take the bait of being an advice ATM. If you are a compulsive people pleaser, or a parent of adult children who's still giving advice when they're well into their 20s, 30s, or beyond, listen to this episode a couple more times and DM me if you want to talk about it. I love talking about boundaries and about why letting people figure things out for themselves may be the kindest thing you could ever do. I'll see you next week. Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
So I remember when we talked about what you introduced as habit stacking, so pairing your habits, and when you did initially bring that up, my initial reaction was like, ugh, like that sounds awful. Like, I don't want to do that. But that was like one of the first shifts that our work together had changed. And that is something that I'm grateful for every day. So the first thing I do in the morning is I go pee. And so what your advice was, take your medication, you know, right after, have your glass of water there in the bathroom. And so that's sort of my daily routine is going to the bathroom, taking my medication, contacts, coffee. Yeah. And it's great because it just cuts out any chance of forgetting, which then would lead to kind of lollygagging around. And then like, oh, wait, have I taken it? I should take it. Wait, but this one other thing. And so just that really starts off the day so consistently and well. So that is the first thing. And then with regards to the rest of my morning routine, my best friend and I, we live together and we exercise in the morning now. So we've been doing that for the past 4 months, like at least 4 days a week. And so we do Beachbody and it's just really fun because we do have the accountability of there's going to be someone waiting for you. So your butt better be up.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.